Welcome to the Hallelujah House, where we focus on preparing the heart, home, and harvest. In this series of podcasts, we are learning what it means to abide in Christ and how to hear the voice of God. My name is Tammy Carter Adams, and I will be your host. I'm so glad you stopped by. Come on in. Hello, everyone, and today we're going to have Tracy Carter as our interview with her. I met Tracy years and years ago. Our kids went to the same Christian school together for years, and we ran in the same circles at church, but we really did not know each other until we traveled to Israel together on a church trip. And I was already planning the podcast of Abiding, and when I became friends with her on this trip, I started thinking, maybe I'll invite Tracy. But I wanted to invite her because she had a different sound to her voice, and I knew she was a Christian, and I thought, oh, it'll put some interest into the sound of the podcast, and that's why I basically invite her. But God had bigger plans for it, and Tracy ended up being the best example of abiding through our abiding study, which we're going to discover today. So welcome, Tracy.
Thank you for having me back.
And Tracy was sharing why she wanted to become part of the podcast.
When I was invited by Tammy to the podcast, we were planning to have it at her beautiful farm in Georgia. And I just thought, wow, what an excellent time to be with friends and to enjoy a wonderful chef. And so I thought to myself, well, I'm in for sure. But was not super convinced of the premise of the Bible study, I guess, is the best way to describe it. I wasn't sure that the Bible study journaling would work, and to say that I was a little skeptical is probably an understatement, but I was definitely in for the party.
We were glad you were, because you were a part of the party. So that was a really good experience for us doing that Bible study. And I'm going to tell you what really happened during that Bible study. We came home, we started the editing process, and my son contacted me and said, session 3 did not tape, Mom. It is totally blank. Even though we had checked and made sure there was some type of recording on all the sessions, for some reason, session 3 didn't tape. So we went through a whole year and came back to the farm in October, and we redid session 3, and we actually redid session 1 as well, because we sounded very stiff on session 1. So I said, let's go ahead and redo session 1. So we did. And in that year, it was a very traumatic year for Tracy and a sorrowful year for Tracy. And we also had, you know, people were getting sick with COVID. We had so many things happen that it was odd that we didn't come back together until almost exactly a full year later and do those two sessions again. But session 3's subject was on forgiveness. And I think that was God. I mean, it was a God thing that we had to revisit session 3. And so I want to open up the floor for Tracy to tell her story and tell what happened. And but first, what we want to do is we want to listen to what God told her in her abiding time in session 12 on abiding. So we're going to let you guys listen to that again, and we're going to revisit those scriptures that God gave her, speaking into her personal life, her Rhema word. Is it Rhema? Rhema word, right? I never can pronounce that word. The personal word that God gives you in God's word when you spend time abiding in him. And we're going to listen to what her word was that God gave her. And then we're going to come back on this end and let Tracy tell you her story. So let's go ahead and listen back to session 12 now.
So I think I should probably start with a little bit of context, since when I did my journaling this morning, I didn't really think there was anything significant. I was really underwhelmed by my quiet time this morning, to be honest. And so I want to give some context about what's been going on the last couple of days. While I've been here with these lovely ladies and chatting, we had social time last night, and things, you know, we were talking about children and
And I have a younger son who's away at college who I have started to feel a little unsettled about his situation.
Mm-hmm.
And worried. Not that there is any evidence that anything's going on, just something in my spirit that's made me worry about Harry, especially this weekend. And so last night we had talked about, you know, several disastrous situations, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. that we'd seen out in the world, and it made me really worry about Harry. And so last night I went to bed and slept zero.
Yeah.
Every hour woke up, and so I was very unsettled about Harry. And so I got up this morning, and knowing that we had to prepare for this, I started my journaling. So I'm going to start with the Bible verse that stuck out to me, and I don't for sure know why this Bible verse stuck out to me, but it was the one that did. And so that was Ezekiel 34:8. Because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and become food for all wild animals. And it just stuck out to me, and I just started to journal that. And there are lots of very similar Bible verses about that. But mm-hmm. when I went deeper and sort of past that, I came across Jeremiah 12:9, and it says, "Has my inheritance become to me like a speckled bird of prey that others surround and attack?"
Mm-hmm.
And so that instantly made me think of Harry's situation, where he is right now in college and the things that are around him. And it's making me, I don't know, just very unsettled about where mm-hmm. he is right now and if it's the right place for him. And so then I went on to Isaiah 5, and it says, "To those who call evil good and good, woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And it made me think of, I guess, his environment in college right now and the mm-hmm. things that are going on around him. And he is somebody that accepted Christ, but he's out in the world and none of his friends are Christians. And mm-hmm. There's alcohol, there's partying, I'm sure there's drugs.
Right.
And so I don't know, it's just a feeling that I have in my spirit that I need to pray for Harry and that I need to talk to Harry.
Yeah.
And so then I went on, and my next Bible verse, after I dug into Isaiah and I was cross-referencing on my app, I got Psalm 94:22, "But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge." And I want Liz to tell you what she told me when I read that.
Yeah, well, I just had listened to your first couple of verses, and you were, you know, you were concerned, fearful for what was going on, like your son is being devoured by these wild animals, you know, like the wildness of life, the enemy, the darkness is trying to, your son is like prey to them right now. And then God showed you, "But Mom, I've got something for you. You're going to find your rest and your refuge in me, because I am the rock. When you are filled with anxiety and you're having a sleepless night, that I am your fortress. I'm your strong tower. I am the rock, and I will not be moved. You can rest in me." So he was just trying to comfort you there, because you've been filled with a lot of concern.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't control this situation, but God can, and he's in charge, and you can trust him.
And so when I woke up this morning, Tammy was the first person that was up, and I explained to her that I had not slept a wink. I'm sure she could tell just by looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
and so she had said, having a son that also had been, you know, away in college in the same place, you know, you need, you know, that perhaps the right thing to do is to bring him home, mm-hmm. you know, to bring him away from that. And so that brought me to my next verse, which was Exodus 33:1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, and you and the people you brought up out of Israel.'" And so that really convicted me to sort of sit there with Harry and figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is this the right thing for him?
Yeah.
And I think when we're unsure, and this is a very important point, and this goes for you too, Prim, if you're unsure really of what God is saying to you, remember he said, camp out in it. We need to camp out in it for a while, you know, these scriptures. And it might be cross-reference even more and pray and ask God to guide you further in His Word and speaking on these particular verses. And so when you leave, I would cross-reference that verse, you know, and pray about your decision on that. And then when you have your talk with your son, pray for clarity.
And it did end in hope. I have to say that my last two Bible verses, I went into Exodus 33:2, and it said, I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites.
And the mosquito bites.
Yes, exactly. Which, you know, at times exactly. we could have done with that. And then Exodus 33:3 was, little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession. And so it does make me feel hope that God's speaking into this situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back. And so now Tracy's going to share what it was that happened, you know, after we did the abiding practice. So first let's start with session 12. At that time, what did you think? I mean, you thought that God was just speaking to you as, you know, warning that something's going on with your son, and you want to reflect on that?
Mm-hmm. So that morning, I believe it was a Sunday morning, actually.
Yes, it was.
That mm-hmm. we did that. And what you don't hear in my retelling of it was the emotion that hit me when I first read those Bible verses in my quiet time that morning. I was sobbing. I felt so strongly in my heart, and I have another son, you know, equally challenging, as boys tend to be. But I knew that God was laying on my heart something related to Harry, and it had kept me awake all night. And then the moment I read the Bible verses, I knew that it was referring to Harry. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go on and explain what happened months later. So on May 31st of 2021, we lost Harry. And there was a tragic incident in Winter Park, Florida. And Harry lost his life. And the events of that night.
Yeah.
Were. It's hard. I really cannot go into too much detail about the events and what happened because of a current legal, criminal, and civil action that is in process as I speak today. But Harry drowned. On Lake Osceola. It was Memorial Day. He was, he had called me actually, or I had called him at 2 p.m. that afternoon, just to check in with him like I would do every day. And how are you doing today? What are you doing? His response was, I'm going to a party at my friend's house. And my last words to Harry were, I love you. Be safe. And so, and I knew that evening I was working that day, and I knew that evening that Harry was coming home early. He had a very important job interview the next day, and he had asked me to help him to prepare. We were going to iron clothes, we were going to select the right outfit, and so I had said to him, you know, meet me at home at 9 p.m. I was having dinner with a friend, and he was with his friends. I said to give us time to discuss it. And so 9 o'clock came by that night and there was no word from Harry. And so I had texted him. And what was very unusual for Harry was he would always respond quickly. He would text back, honestly, just so that I would not continue to text. And there was no response. And so I, in my heart at that moment, even though it had happened probably hundreds of times before where I had texted Harry and he had not responded, something made me feel like something was very wrong. And so I turned to my husband and I said to him, we had called his friend, we had texted other people that we thought were at the lake that night, and no response. And so I turned to my husband and I said, go down there right now and get him. He made a commitment to me to come be here to prepare for the interview, and he has not turned up. And honestly, I was a little bit upset with him. So my husband set forth on his journey down to the lake. And in the meantime, I had contacted my older son, who was on a date. And I said, Nick, call Luke, Harry's best friend. Find out if there's anybody else at the lake that we can, find out. You get a message to Harry, basically. Find out where he is, get a message to him. And so Nick called, and he actually patched me into the call because the response of Luke was so alarming. Nick had asked him, Luke, do you know how I can get a hold of Harry? And Luke responded, you haven't heard. And Nick said, heard what? Harry went swimming in the lake, and he went under the water and did not come back up. And so Nick obviously patched me into the call and was frantic. And we immediately then, all of us, went down to the lake. And and this really is the point that I can't go into much detail about, other than we obviously knew that Harry, that there was very little chance of Harry being alive at that point. And probably around 3 a.m. in the morning, we went home to wait for confirmation. And 24 hours later, we received a call from the Winter Park Police Department saying that his body had been found in Lake Osceola.
And I was there at your house that day because we had been coming in and staying with you. And it seemed like God placed me there during every significant point of this story. And that was devastating, really devastating.
It has been the hardest... hardest year. And it's hard to explain to people what this feels like. It's, as a mother, to lose a child, it is as though I wake up every morning and my heart aches for him. And it doesn't go away. But that being said, as a woman of faith, and somebody who loves the Lord and who knows that we have an eternal reward in Christ, and that reward is life. It's life, and it's going to be life with Harry one day. And so we made a determination that night at the lake. My husband and I had a conversation that we would not let it tear our family apart, and we would not let it take us from God. And that really coloured the way that we proceeded after learning of Harry's death. Mm.
That's awesome. And beyond that, you had in the biting study, you had alluded to or explained your testimony to a story about a woman who had lost her son. And you witnessed her joy, mm-hmm. and how that affected you, and that you wanted what she had, and she led you to the Lord, and that's how you came to know Christ, right? Am I getting that right?
Yes, so many years ago. I mean, I came from England, where there is really no, I would say probably there would have been no hope of me ever learning about Jesus or knowing Jesus in the UK at that time. And so I came here. I met my husband, and we married very quickly, which is something I would not advise for anybody. Mm-hmm. But we have been married for 28 years, so, and had two beautiful sons. So it was a successful story of what I would say was probably not a great decision, mm-hmm. right? And that's how God works, because I think God at that time set his eyes on me.
Yeah.
and made a decision to bring me to a place where I could know him. Mm-hmm. And that place happened to be Nashville, Tennessee. And so I worked there. My husband worked in Nashville. It was a place we started to go to, a small Bible church called Woodmont. And there I met a woman, and her name was Sarah. And I was going through lots of issues with my marriage, as one does when one marries a person she hardly knows. Mm-hmm. And so I was going through a lot of heartache at the time, and met Sarah. And Sarah was the woman in the church. She was at the time probably in a late 70s, but she was that person. She was the person that emanated joy. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that person that just loves the Lord and just radiates it. And she was that person for me. So she invited me to Christian Women's Club, and I didn't really know a whole lot about her. And she, it was in a beautiful home in Nashville, Tennessee. And she stood up, she was the speaker that day, and she told the story of her adult son, who was at the time in medical school. And he had found himself in a bad place with drugs, which he had taken to try to study. Mm-hmm. And it had caused some very severe mental health issues. And one night he was out and the police were called, and he was shot by the police and killed. Mm. And she lost a son. And I remember thinking there that day, how on earth is she able to stand there in front of all of these people with that just unimaginable pain and loss, and to be able to speak to other people? And I remember thinking to myself, the peace that she has, I want that peace. And a few months later, I was baptized in that church.
That's awesome.
And the rest is history. I mean, my husband and I have been in church and raised our children in Christian school and in church. And I would say that she is the reason.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And now people are seeing you. I mean, it's almost come full circle. Mm-hmm. That this woman that lost her son brought you to the Lord. And now I'm hoping that your story is going to bring other people to Christ as well, when they see your joy.
And had I known at the time that that's how God would, you know, I might not have said it, you know, but to find myself here in the very same position is very, I guess, very ironic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but it gives me a lot of peace. It gives me a lot of mm-hmm. peace, and she has given me the inspiration to be able to do this.
Right. And that, yeah. So not only did you receive Christ, but you're receiving the inspiration to continue on like mm-hmm. she did. There has been, in one of your abiding verses, there was at the end where God gives you hope, and he tells you that he is your shelter and he is the rock of your salvation. I'd like for you to share how the rock has become such a symbol right now and giving you comfort, and knowing that God is sovereign and his sovereignty is really prevalent right now, because the rock keeps showing up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the ways that God speaks to us through, you know, symbolism, through symbols sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the last week that we spent with Harry was about 10 days before he passed away, and we were in Blowing Rock, North Carolina, and we were looking for property for our family and to build our own farm, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were there, we went to a small place called West Jefferson, and a church there ministers to people. And what they do is they go around and they leave rocks with Bible verses and their information about the church. They decorate the rocks and they leave them all over West Jefferson. And so Harry found one of those rocks that day, and he was very excited. He actually found five of them, mm-hmm. But decided out of, you know, respect for other people that he should only take one of them. And so he brought this one home, and he just loved it. It was just, you know, a really neat experience that I got to have with Harry the week before he died. And then through this situation, obviously the last verse in the podcast talked about, you know, God being our rock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then we had our determination that we would make sure that we would lean on God as our rock as we went through this. And so we have been going through some very, very painful and difficult legal things. And one of the things that happened to me, a woman reached out to me that, you know, was from Winter Park, and out of concern for Harry and concern for me, and we had coffee and we had lots of connections. You know, I had met her in my workplace, and we had started talking, and it turned out that we had the same name, we had the same initials, and then we talked some more. It turned out our sons played for the same lacrosse team. They went to the same school, and it was just so, it was one of those connections that, you know, wow, I'm really meant to know this woman. Mm-hmm. And so we went to coffee one day and just had a really good fellowship she was a fellow Christian. And then I was working, I had gone back to work, and she came into my place of work later that day, and she said, "I have a present for you." She said, "And I forgot to give it to you this morning." And so she came in with this rock. And on it had the Bible verse, Exodus 14:14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." And unbeknownst to her at the time, we were going through some very, very tough legal things, some decisions, some things. And she did not know that that was the exact verse that I needed to hear at the time. And it happened to be delivered to me on a rock.
Wow. That is so awesome. But God, we serve an awesome God. And that's, you know, as surprising as we get so surprised whenever God surprises us with something like that. You know, he gives you a word in his word, and then he confirms it with something from outside the word, you know, from through people and circumstances. And for some reason, we're just wowed by it. But that's just who we, you know, God is awesome, and it shouldn't surprise us, but it does. And I think I think it's important to always stay, I think it's good to stay in a state of awe, mm-hmm. you know, of God. And that, you know, he really does see us. He really does know what we're going through. He really does care and really does love us. And I can't imagine going through what you've been going through without having God. I can't imagine it.
And part of the way that I did that, I have to say, was through the Abiding Bible Study.
Yeah.
So those,
I think that did help you probably, didn't it?
Well, those first few weeks after Harry passed away, because we did not really know what happened to him. And to be honest, we still don't really know fully what happened that day. And to get through it in those weeks, it's tough. I mean, you get up, you hopefully take a shower. Mm-hmm. It's putting one foot in front of the other. And I struggled even in my quiet time. And so I made a determination. I felt like I couldn't do anything super heavy or read any books or get too in-depth into the Bible. But what I decided to do and what I felt like I could do was I took the Bible verse of the day. Every day. And
it's a place to start.
It is. It would pop up on my phone, and I thought, I'm going to journal it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to journal that Bible study, that Bible verse, every single day in the way that the Abiding Bible Study taught me to do. Mm-hmm. And so I had on my app, and one day, and I'm looking at it today, actually, and it's funny because I had to go through these notes today. I started doing that on June 30th, which was a little less than a month after it happened. And I had written that day, "Harry died 1 month ago. I am heartbroken. Every day my heart aches for him." And the first Bible verse, so this was the Bible verse of the day for that day, was Exodus 14:14, which is the Bible verse that appeared on the rock. And it says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." And to give context here, on these days, we did not know, We were looking for answers. We were struggling to get people to talk to us about what happened. And there was just so much mystery and unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt as though we were sort of up against the world trying to figure this out. And so I journaled, and God spoke to me through those journals. It said, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And so every Bible verse was about God saying to me, Tracy, you don't have to do this. I'm doing this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through, and it's like sometimes it's like going down a wormhole. You know,
yeah.
you start with one Bible verse.
And it's exactly how it's a tool,
mm-hmm.
you know, the process that Richard teaches us in that study is just a tool to get you
mm-hmm.
going down that wormhole, you know, basically. And it gets you diving into the word mm-hmm. where you don't want to put it down because you want to see what else he's going to say, or, you know, by the cross-referencing part. But it is a place, like you said, that's one way of jumping in. You know, it's just finding what works for you as far as how to jump in, whether it's your devotional or whether it's the Bible verse of the day or whether it's just praying and opening your Bible and picking up a chapter, you know, any of it would work. But so.
And God speaks to you through the word.
Yes.
And I had somebody that said something really quite cute to me not too long ago about how, you know, about how do you hear God's voice? And I'm like, I don't really hear God's voice. But what I did realize is that God speaks through his word.
Mm-hmm.
And so on those days afterwards, when we felt as though we were up against the world, we were getting Bible verses that I shared with my son, like things like Psalms 92:9, "For behold, your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. This righteous shall flourish. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like..."
Is it like cedars of Lebanon?
Yeah, like the cedar of Lebanon. Thank you for that.
I know that verse because
yeah.
I've vlogged about that verse, that passage before, so it's funny that you picked that one. He actually gave me that verse after breast cancer. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he does. He does speak to you primarily through his word. But you know, as you're in his word and as you learn who God is, learn his character, learn his voice, learn his promises in your abiding time in the word, you will, you know, it's not audibly. I'm not saying that God never speaks audibly because I don't believe that. I think that God can do whatever. We've talked about this, that God can do whatever he wants to. He's God, you know. But you will have thought, you know, God can give you thoughts, you know, in your mind that you're going to recognize because you've gotten to know him so long through abiding that you're going to say, that is not my thought. This is coming from God because
mm-hmm.
it's unlike something that would come from me. You know, it's not, and it doesn't conflict against the word. And you will start to recognize, because he says, they know my voice. You
mm-hmm.
know, they are my sheep, they know my voice. And the reason how they got to know the voice is by spending time. And how we do it is through the word. You spend time in the word, you get to know God's voice. And then that way, when you do, when God does speak to you in your mind, he does speak throughout the day to you. You know, I'll be doing laundry and he'll impress something on me. He'll impress something in my mind. But I know that to be God because I've been spending years abiding. So that's how, you know, so it's both. But if you're not first spending time in the word, you're not going to know when he is impressing on you, which I think we covered that in the study, but I'm not sure. So I thought I'd cover that right now. But, was there anything else we wanted to?
I guess one of the things that I wanted to get across was at the time of the abiding weekend that we had, long
mm-hmm.
weekend, I came out of that having heard those things that I believe was about Harry, wondering, you know, why? Why was God telling me this? You know, why? Because, and there were times during my darkest times after Harry died that I thought back and I thought, well, I had that warning. Why didn't I do more to prevent this? And why did he give me that warning at the time if it wasn't for me to save Harry in some respect, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
And looking back now, and having months, you know, it's been now 11 months, having months of reflection on the situation and the circumstances, I realized one day it just came to me why God showed me that. And because what happened was after I left, I immediately, Harry had come home. Harry had gone through some mental health issues. He suffered from extreme anxiety and he had a very close friend that attempted suicide all right after I left this Bible study, and he was struggling. And we had had conversations about being in college and whether staying there was the right thing to do. And he had said to us that he wanted to stay there and you know, that he loved it and he wanted to graduate and all of those things. But what it did do was, having that warning, it made me change my behavior. And so what I did was I made sure that I visited Harry. So come that January after he went back, within a few weeks, I went to visit Harry, and I brought him back here to be with me. I would literally make excuses for him to come and be here and spend time. And he spent 10 days for his brother's birthday. He was here for a long period of time over Mother's Day. And I had felt at the time a compulsion almost to reschedule a trip for him. And that trip was planned over COVID, was to go and see his best friend probably since first grade, who was living in Hawaii at the time. And I had a conversation with Harry, and I'm like, Harry, we need to reschedule this trip. I said, we must reschedule this trip. And we ended up arranging the trip actually during his finals at FSU. And it was a 10-day trip, and it was, I would say, a trip of a lifetime. He went canoeing, he went diving, and he spent time with his best friend. And looking back on that now, I realize that that was God's grace and mercy on all of us. Mm-hmm. That Bible study, because it gave us time. It made me bring Harry home. And we had so many dinners and conversations and hugs on Mother's Day. And he got to spend a huge chunk of his last weeks with his best friend and then with us. And so that was the purpose of it, I believe, in God giving me a glimpse into that a year before, because it changed my actions. And on what would have been a time that Harry would have gone to college and spent 16 weeks and not ever come home.
Right.
You know, instead we had times, and he did some things, you know, he did some things in his life that he always wanted to do. He got a tattoo, which I was not approving of. He obviously, you know, he canoed from the big island in Hawaii, I think, to a little island, which was something that he really wanted to do. And so God was showing mercy on my heart. He was showing kindness to me. And he gave me the most precious thing with Harry, and that was time with him. And I think that was why all of those things came out in the Abiding Bible Study.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So awesome. If you could say anything to someone out there that might be doubting in abiding at this point, and doubting that God speaks through his word, what would you say to that person?
I would say that the Bible is is the primary source that God uses to speak to us.
Yeah.
And if you are not in it, you are not hearing it.
You are not hearing him. Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. And I was not. I was not a regular. I was not doing quiet time each morning. And I would put it off for other things that I deemed were more important.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed for me, especially in the days after Harry died. Every day I had to start my day in the Word because I literally could not do the day without it.
Yeah. It gets to the point, and yeah. If you do skip a day,
yeah,
it's almost, if I skip a day, I'm like, oh my goodness, I miss, you know, you miss your quiet time because it becomes such a part
mm-hmm.
of who you are and your routine, and it's, you almost feel like you can't neglect it anymore once you start on this path.
Mm-hmm.
You really feel it in your life when you veer off and you want to get back on quick, you know, but...
And I do think that this too is part of the purpose in what's happened. I think there is a reason, and there is good things,
mm-hmm.
you know, that will come out of Harry. I believe that. I know that. I've seen it already.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
seen people come to know Jesus. People come back to Jesus through Harry.
Mm-hmm.
We had 500 people that came to his funeral and many, many more that watched it online. And we made a determination that his funeral would be about salvation. And we went through Harry's life from the moment that he accepted Christ to his baptism to the day that he went to be home with the Lord. And we wanted people to understand that we have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And that's how I can sit here and have a life filled with joy and purpose and happiness, because I know that one day I will be with Harry.
That's right.
And
that's so good.
That is, I think, the message
mm-hmm.
in all of this. And Harry has touched more people in the months after he died in Jesus's name than he did in his entire life.
Yeah.
Because they... You know, they knew of the decision that he made and the decision that we made and how it has impacted how we have walked through this tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I will say, you know, I told Tracy, I shared this with Tracy. My boys, although they went to school for a small period of time with Harry and your son, Nick, my boys were in their classes. Harry was Christian, my son Christian's age, and Nick was my son's Nick's age, and I taught Nick in Sunday school, so I've kind of knew Nick, but I really didn't know Harry. But when my boys had heard the news about Harry, the first thing they said to me is, "Oh, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. He's so nice, you know. He's so kind." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And they said, "Well, whenever we saw him out, he would act like he knew you, you know, like you had been." He always treated us as if we were close friends of his. He made you feel comfortable. He would say, "Hey, Christian," give him a hug and say, "How you been doing, man?" You know, he was just a nice, nice guy. And I think, you know, I think that played out in his funeral. And I think that people saw that, and his friends all kind of said some of the same things about him. So if we're going to remember anything about him, that's what stands. That's what stands, is that memory. And so I just wanted to also say how proud I am of you. You are. I didn't know if I could do this, but you came to me, and you're the one that wanted to do this. And we knew this would be our hardest podcast. We knew this would be the hardest podcast that we've done. But I'm so thankful that you wanted to do it. I think it's so valuable. It just shows God is so good. God is good. And he's loving and he's kind. And he has our days numbered.
I mean, we all are going to go, and he knows exactly when, but he gave you a heads up.
He did. He did, and that's exactly how I view it.
Yep. He gave a mother a heads up. And here I thought I was inviting you to a wedding because of your British accent.
And I was coming for the chef.
But God had much bigger plans. But thank you for doing this. And I know this is going to impact people. And I mean, if it doesn't, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it can't.
I think that it will. I think Harry would love to know that that was his legacy here.
Yeah.
Because he was a kind boy who loved. He was the first, he would be the first one to forgive.
Right.
And I think he would get a kick out of the fact that, you know, people are talking about him in such a kind way.
Oh, yeah. And then to touching back on how we had to retape session 3 on forgiveness, I thought that was significant too.
Well, I think that God's still working on my heart.
God is still working on you. He does. I know it takes forgiveness takes time, mm-hmm. But I thought how funny that he brings us back to the farm a year later, so that we could all comfort you. And it was a different type of weekend that weekend. It was a lot of crying going on and pouring out our heart, your heart, letting you pour out your heart. And we hope that we were a comfort to you, but he also put forgiveness back in your face again.
I know, and it's funny because I think actually Liz and I talked about forgiveness a little bit. I think we disagreed, and I think I said to her something like, "I feel like God expects it."
You said it was required. And she said, but yeah. we could say no, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
But I feel
But
like
I knew what you were saying.
I think it's sort of not required, but more of an expectation.
Expectation, yeah.
You know, because we are forgiven.
Yeah.
And because we're forgiven, it's incumbent upon me to forgive. And so there are people in our realm now that are related to this, and I'm not going to get into too much detail about that.
Yeah.
And we forgive them.
Yeah.
You know, we do. We forgive them as Christ forgave us.
Right.
And I think it's important, and it was an important to go through that right before this happened, you know, to remind me of how important it is, not just for the other person, but for us. And for us as Christian people to be able to move on in joy, forgiveness, and happiness, and to leave all blame, bitterness, and anger behind. And mm-hmm. That's our intention.
Yeah.
We've already begun to do that.
So good. And one of the ways that helps in forgiving is God tells you to pray for your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, that right there, and once you start, I mean, even if you've got to like grit your teeth and pray for that person,
which I have,
but something happens in that process if you continue to keep praying for them, and it softens your heart towards that person. And so that's a way, if you're struggling with forgiving anyone in your life that has hurt you, for our listeners, pray for them. No matter how hard it is, pray for them.
We did, and you know what? We started to do that immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and a wise person spoke to my husband about this, that you have to pray for people. You have to pray that you can forgive them and see them in the way that God sees them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my prayer. And yeah. And it does. It has softened my heart, and even though we're still really in the midst of all of this, I feel as though I already have joy coming back into my life.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason for that is that God puts it there. You know, having an army of people that came from day one.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you know, Tammy and Jay included, that God carried us through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for us to show that to Nick, our other son, the importance of forgiveness and how it frees you.
Yeah, it does free you. And we talked about that in session 3. If you wanted to focus more on forgiveness and the abiding study, you can go to the session 3 podcast. So, girl, we got through it.
I did.
Now pass me the tissue box. My nose is running. So everyone out there, be blessed. And if you'd like to contact Tracy, you can find her personally. You can find her on our website at www.thehallelujahhouse.com. Have a good day.